Hello.
Yeah. So, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you very much for staying for this session. And we have a very inspiring panelist. So let me first introduce Professor Seung-Wan. Professor Seung-Wan Hwang of Yonsei University. And Professor Hideyuki Takuda. Professor Jin-Hyun Kim. And Professor Seung-Wan Lee. So that's I think the professors, they have some they will each have some time to state their own position. So we should have the slides now. Can we have the slides, the PowerPoint projection? Okay.
Okay, hi, I'm Seung-Wan and I'm a professor in computer science department at Yonsei University. I'm leading data intelligence lab and I'll explain how data leads to intelligence in the next slide. In this panel discussion, I'm discussing from the angle of human intelligence. I'm representing human intelligence, how to acquire human intelligence and why it is important to leverage human intelligence. So in order to explain my background, at 2005, I graduated as a student and became a professor, and this sort of summarized my research journey for the last 11 years. So my PhD is in the database field, which is traditionally talking about structured tables for company data, SQL, and so on. So that's how I start to collaborate with Microsoft as an intern, working to support advanced analytics for SQL Server, because around that time, search engines came up. So not only the companies are interested in using company data, but anything crawlable should be accessible. So very strict SQL query no longer is a very good interface for those big unstructured knowledge, which is why we need ranking search engine and UX, search engine UX, like Professor Hurst is a big expert in this area. And then this search engine is sort of a big corpus of big sort of collection of human intelligence, but what keyword search provide is just simple pattern matching at the very raw word level. And then people think that is a little bit too stupid, so why not make it in a more intelligent form? So by looking at text pattern like search patterns, or we can easily build knowledge and we can allow like natural language like query. So this tapping into human intelligence needs to be more intelligent, which is why we need AI techniques to extract human intelligence knowledge and so on. And now I think many of data people are now interested in turning the entire World Wide Web into sort of worldwide brain. So not like keyword-based query, but sort of big human intelligence, big collection of human intelligence we can turn to train AI application and collaborate for AI and HI to collaborate. Okay, so that's just to explain my angle for the rest of the session. So as a human, I obtained my intelligence from genes. There are genetic level instinct, which was passed down through biological reproduction over evolutions. That is very slow process, but there is very like human intelligence encoded in gene level. And also I gain intelligence through experience. This is my first panel experience with this big audience, and I'm making sequence of decision, and at the end of it, whatever I experience will be supervision so that I can revalue my value system to either to never to do panel again or we'll find out. So we are human, learn from experiences, and of course we read lots and lots of books or by watching social behavior. So that's how we get human intelligence. And human intelligence obtained in this way was affecting AI in like these three possible way. AI has been mimicking what we do for acquiring intelligence, like genetic algorithm to mimic evolution. And experience, I think the reinforcement learning. So I'm doing this in a very lousy way as the first experience. And based on your feedback, I will gradually improve it until I become expert panelist. Only computer can do this kind of experience in a very fast, on steroid mode, without sleeping, without eating very well. That's how AlphaGo works. And also this kind of intelligence are encoded in the neural connection, which is what neural network is mimicking. And that's one way HI influences AI. And another way is supervision. So like search engine, we click and this becomes human supervision for a search engine to understand word relationship. And this has been a very one big human intelligence signal that has improved the quality of search engines. And of course, HI and AI co-evolves. That was the whole topic of the Dr. Hahn's talk, so I will be very brief. Not only HI feeds AI, but AI feeds HI. So I now base a lot of decision on the knowledge provided by AI. I watch movie recommended by AI. I drive based on the navigator directions. And I get data insight from NLP narration of tons and tons of graphs and so on. Okay, I'll close with this illustration. I like watching documentary, so I watch all the films in the Documentary Film Festival, and this was my favorite in this year's Korean sort of documentary film festival called Alice Cares. So it is about watching how robot is deployed to actual elders for several years, and then I am a sort of study language and text, and I always thought I'm talking to machine. So I think I always assumed this kind of mode of conversation, I'll talk to AI. But then in this film, I realized that a lot of time these elders put robot next to her. So they ask question, of course, like what is the weather today? But that kind of conversation is just one round. And even when like robot is super intelligent, like solving very impressive math, they just get sarcastic. Of course, you are smart, you're a computer, and doesn't evolve into like meaningful long rounds of conversation. But when robots are sitting next to elders, they are watching television together and talk about some real world entity together, like what do you think about this person? What do you think about this sports team? And so on. So this sort of changed my viewpoint. So now I study AI, but not considering AI as something I talk to, but maybe it is talking next to me side by side and so on. So I'm sure next panelist will show more of what robots can do in the following.
Thank you. 감사합니다. Professor Tokuda is next.
Yes, my name is Hide Tokuda from KO University. Actually, KO is a private institution, and
we need
have
a slide on the. Thank you.
Good relationship with Yonsei University, anyhow. I'm talking about the relationship with robot and personal robot and elderly person. We have a short demo video with me. Could you please switch to a slide?
Video. We need the video.
Okay. Okay. Oops. Just. Okay. One phrase I just trying to leave you a message is called accelerating. In Japan, there are four pillars in terms of ICT research. One is AI, one is IoT, one is big data, and security. Okay, so this video, short clip, is talking about the new lifestyle with a personal robot. This was actual demo we did last year in our campus. Okay, so this is a picture of. They don't like me to. So, okay, this is a picture of our campus. Oh, hello. I can see the slides here.
There must be some robot is against us.
Okay, anyhow, the idea is elderly person living alone with a personal robot. Oops. Hello.
So we should have invited a machine, a robot to our panel session.
Time is up? Or could you bring back to the...
We need the video, please.
Okay, just don't control. I will push. Okay, so there are three scenes. She's actually an undergraduate student, but pretending as an elderly person living with a personal robot, okay? She forgot the appointment with a medical doctor in the hospital. The robot get the phone call from the hospital. Oops. Ah. Okay. Somehow the right-hand side robot is pretending as an agent from the hospital. So there's a robot-to-robot communication. And then robot, name is R1, is resuming the conversation with her. And then dispatching the autonomous Uber to get the hospital. So we have a researcher working on an autonomous car. So this is a pretended autonomous Uber. Somehow we have to interact with a robot and autonomous Uber, okay? And then we will show you the video, okay?
It feels okay now.
Good. You've been working hard on rehab, so you seem to be doing well.
Yes. What time is my appointment today?
Now we go.
Speaking of which, I'm receiving a call from the hospital's robot. Hang on 1 second, Grandma.
Okay.
Yes, this is R1, Grandma Kimura's robot. Thank you for your call. May I confirm what time?
30分後です.
Okay, she will be heading over soon.
よろしくお願いします.
失礼します. Grandma, there was a call from the hospital robot.
What did it say?
The call was to confirm today's appointment. It's in 30 minutes, so I'll call the car now.
Thank you, R1.
No problem.
So now the robot is talking to the autonomous Uber.
The autonomous vehicle is already fetched. So I'm going to the... Okay, please come.
It's a very narrow street here.
Thank you.
So instead of her, our guest was sitting in the car. So. So there's a car coming from the behind, so the car will stop. Demonstrate some of the CPS IoT technology. So there was a drone actually monitoring the movement of this car. Trying to put these real-time data into the database. You can see one point, after the one point, then I will stop the video. But unlike the human, you can see the steering, you know, moving very fast to make a turn. No correction, just one shot and then they can get in to the parking space. Pretending as a hospital. Okay, so let me stop. So. You could see that kind of demonstration. What we were trying to do is trying to look ahead what kind of social issues, the policy issues, regulation issues we have to face. I think many people would like to have a personal assistance in that way. But not only just technology shaping, we have to think about some of the social regulation issues. So that's one point. And then there are some crazy researchers in Japan. I just wanted to show you one more picture. So these are the surrogates. Can you identify which one is human being and which one is surrogate? The back is a human being, but anyhow. So I leave it here. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kotoka-sensei. Now, Professor Kim.
My name is Jin-young Kim, and the CEO of the AI Research Institute is only 3 months old. So I'm recruiting the good, talented AI researcher. I was asked to comment on the collaboration between human intelligence and machine intelligence. There are a lot of stories about AI fall in love with human and also attack human society. But that's a story. It's science fiction. It's not there's any scientific evidence that possible in within 15 years. AI is technology which helps people to interact machine more naturally. So that 70-year-old research area, there are a lot of ups and downs. And nowadays, there's a big, amazing, successful story is possible. There are many the basic technology. Based on that, they developed a lot of interesting application, especially in those areas. The 8 areas was pointed by Stanford Research Group, the most active research area within 15 years. So in a report, today only 1% of software system has AI flavor. But it will be 50 in the year 2018. In that speed, in year 2019, all the software will have AI features. I keep saying that AI is a spice to make software delicious. to use AI successfully, we need software. That is basis of AI application. Nowadays, every company is software company. Therefore, every company is AI company now. So their report, AI will increase the growth rate of GDP 2 times within year 2035. There are 3 ways of improving GDP. First one is intelligent automation system. Conventional automation system, it degrades over time. But the intelligent automation system will improve its performance by training. Second way of the AI contribution to growth is augmenting existing manpower and capital system. So AI is not a technology to replacing humans. AI is technology to augmenting humans' capabilities. So the contribution comes from diffusion. AI is technology to apply for enhancing our life. Innovation begets another innovation. So you have to apply AI as much as possible. So it's time. You don't have to work for just for living. Work can be done by the machine. So humans do whatever you want. There are many types of the human and machine collaboration. Well, worst case is the machine completely replaced human's work. But best case is with help from the machine, humans can achieve that cannot be done by himself. That is what we are looking for. Okay, you are not willing to work under the robot advisor, robot supervisor. So in a report, they say that about 3 million workers will work under supervision of the AI manager in year 2018, only 2 years later. Okay, then you guys should prepare for the data science and machine learning. It is the fundamental technology for the next generation. But you also accept the fact that machine learns better than you and they teach you the knowledge. For example, professional golf player Isidore, he lost game against the AlphaGo. Where should Isidore learn about playing Go? Isidore should learn something from AlphaGo. You prepare for the learn from the machine. Okay, the AI is, I think, is opportunity for us. But it depending on how we prepare it. So we should understand that the power and capability and the limitations of AI, and we manage well for the transition to the AI society. Thank you.
Thank you, Professor Kim. Professor Lee, you are next.
Okay, I'm Sungwan Lee from Korea University. I'm working on brain and cognitive engineering. So, the topic we are talking about is how human and the machine can work together to shape the future. Okay, people are worrying about machines and artificial intelligence. They worry about that
machine will take people's job. It is because machines get smarter and smarter every day by artificial intelligence. And during the Industrial Revolution, lots of machines were made and they have taken lots of jobs, people's jobs. So smarter machines will do more. Also, people worry about that machine will dominate people. According to the exponential growing speed of current artificial intelligence, at some day, human will be dominated by machines, maybe. So appearing of a strong AI will boost up realizing this situation. However, we are still not there. Humans are still very essential for many areas. They have creativity, empathy, insight, and so on. Think about delivering service to a client. Most customer challenges are routine, but humans play a very important role in addressing and solving new issues. So, managing the unpredictable is where human gets the most credit. This is maybe one way that human and machine can work together. Then, how human and machine can work together to shape the future? According to the observations so far, machines are very good at routine process, while humans are good at managing the unpredictable. Therefore, in order to work together, we can divide the roles. Human takes global and imaginative part, and machines takes local, computational, and repetitive part. Did you watch the movie Iron Man? So Stark works with Jarvis. Jarvis is artificial intelligence to solve unpredictable and hard problems together. I hope this will be the future for these two. Thank you.
Thank you for all the professors for their great presentations. Now we'll give some audience some chance to ask questions. Any questions? Okay, before you guys get ready, let me ask one question. So now you guys are all saying that machines are getting more and more powerful, but there's also people concerned about the social impact. One of the very outspoken people is Stephen Hawking, the famous scientist. He says, let me see what he exactly says, success in creating AI could be the biggest event in the history of our civilization, but it could also be the last unless we learn how to avoid the risks. Alongside the benefits, AI will also bring dangers like powerful autonomous weapons or new way for the few to oppress the many. That's very dangerous. Okay, so what do you guys think? Anyone want to take that question?
Yeah, I don't think that is ever possible. By definition, machine don't have any emotion. Machine don't have intention. If machine has emotion and intention, we not call that is a machine. That is life. That's artificial life. I think artificial life is more dangerous to humans. But the machine always under the control of humans. That's the definition of machine. So don't worry too much about that.
Anybody else? Okay, Professor Lee, go ahead.
Yeah, I fully agree with Dr. Kim. Dr. Stephen Hawking's talk was like this. He assumed the strong artificial intelligence. Strong artificial intelligence means the machines can have self-consciousness and free will and fully understanding of the environment. So I think this is very difficult problem. So from academic point of view, the research on self-consciousness and free will just started very early stage of the research. In the future, in 50 years later, 100 years later, it may be possible, but I don't think that it will be possible in year 10 to 20 years. So that's why I don't worry about such kind of disaster situations.
Okay. Tokuda-sensei,
yes, I have a little bit, I try to intend to be more pessimist. So there are many countries in the world. Some people can import some of the advanced AI technologies without sharing the common value. And they're trying to do intentionally very negative things or antisocial things. So I think as a researcher, we have to look ahead saying that if such kind of things happen, what kind of social safe net we should have. So I think maybe not only just technology, but social aspect we have to concern. Yeah, somehow we may have a responsibility to think about.
Okay, I would like to add one more thought to the pessimistic side. I'm actually optimistic, but just for the sake of discussion, I'm optimistic because I'm a computer scientist, which is an invented job from the computing technology. While it took away lots of jobs, but so my point is, I think for every technological advances, there is some serendipitous advantage, like mentioned in Peter Lee's talk. So for example, if there is a Uber that can help someone with hearing impaired, before it was very hard to get the taxi to get to somewhere that he wants to go, but with Uber, he doesn't have to do it. He can just type in and then the taxi would come and bring him there. So it's serendipitous sort of advantage, but at the same time, like some technological advance like GUI sort of isolates vision impaired at DOS. They could just read whatever is happening at the command window and he could use computing power. But with Windows, now there is accessibility feature, but as soon as GUI comes out, there wasn't. So we should always be careful who is being neglected with some change and who is getting advantage. And we can, of course, get help from social and philosopher, psychologists outside of technological domain. But even from technological domain, I think we should sort of guide our technological advances intentionally into that direction to avoid sort of this digital divide, AI divide, and so on. So just to be provocative, I think Turing test was challenged in Dr. Han's talk, but I want to challenge the Turing test again. Maybe this idea of AI sort of looking very much like human is sort of giving this very bad idea or pushing all the researchers to build super powerful AI to beat human. Maybe we should revise new Turing test where human and AI together sort of do some Superman work and then evaluate it by the outcome of these collaborative efforts. So for example, if it is a playing Go, it's not machine against human, but it is human assisted by computer simulation. Seto plus Google versus somebody else with another company would be, I think, more interesting competition and also sort of guides sort of technological advances to pay more attention to better collaboration between HI and AI.
Thank you, Professor Huang. So any question from the audience? You can also, we do have a question. You can also ask questions in Korea. We all know Korean. For me, I know how to say 안녕하세요 or 감사합니다. So, okay. Go ahead.
네, 저 아까 강연에서 닥터 홍께서 오늘날의 AI는 전부 weak AI에 대한 것이다라고 말씀하셨고 또 아까 말씀하실 때 SF 이야기는 그냥 다 이야기에 불과하다라고 말씀하셨는데 레이 커즈와일이나 이런 유명하고 좀 인지도가 있는 분들 중에서는 특이점이 가까이 왔다. 또 특히 그 신피질 브레인 니오코르텍스를 이렇게 모델링해서 스트롱 AI를 구현할 수 있는 굉장히 실질적인 가능성이 있고, 그리고 관련된 연구들이 진행되고 있어서 곧 스트롱 AI 시대가 올 것이다 라고 하면서 뭔가 2045년이라든가 2025년이라든가 구체적인 숫자를 제시하시는 분들도 계시는데, 이러한 것들에 대해서 어떻게 생각하시는지, 스트롱 AI라는 개념 자체가 좀 비현실적이라고 생각하시는지 질문 드리고 싶습니다.
감사합니다. Even though I don't understand, so we should go ahead.
I don't know exactly when was that. It was about 1970 something. That by then, the scientists believe, AI researchers believe that we can totally overcome natural language understanding. But it was 50 years ago. It takes a time. So as a scientist, I have no evidence that AI cannot overcome human human intelligence. But it's possible by theory. But at this the state of the technology nowadays, this is a long the way to go. So I, as a young researcher, I strongly recommend you study on the strong AI. But for industrial point of view, it's better to apply the AI technology to current problem. AI is technology to solve our problem.
Okay, so for the first panelist, for the next panelist to answer the questions, also for the benefit of the non-Korean speakers, you can please paraphrase the question. So, anyone want to take that?
So, related to the strong AI, right?
Oh, okay. So, okay, so I'm guessing. Go ahead.
I guess there are two aspects. One is as a science, maybe many researchers is working on that. In Japan, there are some researchers actually trying to put the emotion into the robots. And also some kind of autonomy. So ethics, everything you trying to get it itself. But there are two aspects. One is understanding the science of these things and also applying this technology into human society, how we actually apply this strong AI into our harmonized society. And also social acceptance as well. If you come up with totally new technology, it's not quite comfortable with ordinary people. So you have to actually think about how this technology can be applied into the society and how social acceptance can be, you know, increased or not. So there are lots of way to go, but I think I do also encourage you to challenge that kind of tough question.
Thank you. So maybe this is our last question. And I, on behalf of the audience, the young people, I want to ask a question. Forget about the philosophical issues, but it's for sure that the machine will replace and will be more capable and replace more jobs. So in light of that, as today's young people, what new skills should we develop? How young people should, what we should learn so that we can stay very competitive in the future world? Anybody want to take that?
Well, until 3 months ago, I served as the president of Software Polish Research Institute for the Korean government. I provide the guidance to the making software-related policy for the Korean government. So I strongly argue that the AI, whatever technology we are currently using, all based on the software technology. So I strongly insist that we start teaching our kid coding, computer programming, and computational thinking from as early as possible. So we decide to teaching computer coding in the elementary school, and also we put the mandatory the coding class in the junior high school, and high school also put some subject to relate to computer computational thinking. So I don't think Yonsei University is a member of the software-oriented university. The Korean government is putting some funding support to universities to teach computer and software in no matter what major are they. So I strongly insist that Yonsei University should teach coding to entire the student, not only coding, but also data science. That's my the suggestion.
I think that Professor Huang has something to say from the perspective of Yonsei University.
Two advice. If the AI is a too much risk for your job perspective, one advice is maybe you should know how AI works. You should understand enemy. So there will be AI course offering next semester at Department of Computer Science. You should all take it for the sake of your, to shape the future. And also, I also sort of agree that with democratization of AI technology, AI coding can be pushed down to very early level. So I just view AI as another paradigm of programming. So your CS 101 is you put data and then program and you get output. But AI is like you put output as a supervision and data and it generates program. So it sounds very scary and be taught as a fourth year upper level courses, but it could be of course taught in a more general level. And second advice is I gave a presentation about AI mimicking human intelligence, but in terms of future, I think human should mimic AI how they learn. I like reinforcement learning. Whenever I see the video of robot learning how to walk, starting from nothing, and he try and fall, and then do it over again. This is my reinforcement learning of speaking in front of 2,000 people, which is I've never done. So the thing is that value system is changing too rapidly. So I wish I know what will happen and sort of give rule-based advice. Don't do this, don't do that, but I will not be accurate. That prediction cannot be accurate. So the only way is you just try it out based on the feedback from environment. You go back to update your value network and then try again. Do it very rapidly as AI does. Maybe that can help you find your value system and adapt fast.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of more things we could discuss, but due to the time, I think we'll wrap up here. And let's give a round of applause to the panelists for their insightful comment. And thank you for your participation. 감사합니다.